Our very distinguished local guest today. We're local. We're all local at WGXC. Mm-hmm. Is Melissa Oftemer, the owner and
co-founder, director,
and director of Basilica Hudson, a famous venue down on the waterfront.
Just past the train station. Can't miss it.
It is a wonderful space.
The building does it all. Half the work is just being a reclaimed 1880s factory. It does most of the work for us, but does it some other work on the side.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And Melissa is here to talk about an event that's taking place at Basilica tomorrow on Friday.
Tomorrow night, yep.
And it's all about the Hudson.
It's all about the hope on the Hudson, because the Hudson is so divided between risk and trouble and environmental issues. And then this is specifically focused on the hope on the Hudson as a bookend to how we kicked off our season this spring, which was with the river at risk, which was the opening sort of part of this dialogue, which was assessing and being educated on the immediate environmental dangers that some people know that the Hudson Valley and the Hudson River is the birthplace of the American environmental movement, but which I didn't know so much as I do now, and that the Hudson River is more at risk now than it was in the 70s when it was being treated as a garbage dump to GE and all the 1900s. It was just a garbage dump for all the industry on the river, and we are in fact more at risk now with the fracking, the pipelines, and the bomb trains and the barge holding patterns for the crude oil. So it's worse than ever now than it was then.
When I see those barges go down the river and know what the possibility of accident is with them, it's really scary.
Yeah, and that's
so sobering, Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, a riverfront community, even though our funny little city of Hudson has turned its back over the years, but we're turning, you know, more and more closely towards the river. And and when we did this program in the spring, and it's all centered around a filmmaker, John Bowermaster. He's a worldwide National Geographic documentary filmmaker, and when he moved to the region, like so many of us, became seduced by the beauty of the mountains, the river, the natural beauty that, you know, really draws us here. And so he has, for the past few years, with the Hudson River Stories, been telling stories in short film format about all of these different risks. So HudsonAtRisk.com, look it up, incredible. So when we brought him in the spring to reveal these epic stories of the bomb trains and the fracking and all the efforts to try to resist and defend the river that is at risk, he told me about how when he and a bunch of environmental groups, and the obvious ones, River Keeper and all the very active river groups will be there tomorrow, but when he explained that when he and a bunch of environmentalists brought this series of film down to Washington, D.C. for a environmental convention of sorts, the people who were not from the Hudson Valley looked at him and said, why are you guys, I mean, what's the hope? How could you tackle this? This is next to impossible to stand up to. They were so so this is his response. These are the sneak preview of his new series called Hope on the Hudson, which is focusing on the remarkable stories that are quite inspiring and are showing results. And was when he told me that he was working on that series, he'd like to premiere it with us. Then we built a whole event around it and asked all the participants to come and share a story of success and therefore bombard the audience with hope of as much as it's an uphill battle there are reasons for us to get engaged, be active, and they will show results. But it's an endless battle. I mean, our planet at large is, you know, needing to be defended right now. And it is incredible that a community like ours gets to focus on one very focused, localized issue that at least is tangible and it does inspire us all to live here. I mean, I would not live here without those mountains and river. It was them that called me to even make this place my home. Yeah.
Well, who are the organizations that are
participating.
Yeah.
So we have...
It's in collaboration. It
yeah, so the it's presented in collaboration with John Bowermaster's Hudson River Stories. So he's the filmmaker, and he has this great group works around him, and they just are so devoted to telling the story about the river and the groups and the individuals. And then the Good Work Institute, which some people may have been familiar with from, they started a couple years ago, and it was originally Etsy.org. It was Etsy creating their nonprofit division to try to help. And it's been shifted into the Good Work Institute. And they have been creating a lot of interesting, sort of bringing communities together. For example, they are hosting a discussion on climate change in the next few months down at Bard, part of a new climate series down there. They're really good at facilitating communities to have conversations about specific things. They are definitely focusing on climate, but they are also focusing on how your individual company or self can do good work in your community. So that's, you know, hence the name. So the two of them are the presenting partners. And then we just put out an open call to the region to see who would like to come share a story or have an information booth. So the format is there's information booths of all, you know, Riverkeeper, the Clearwater, Apollonia, SS Columbia, a lot of boat projects, but then a lot of renewable energy companies such as Hudson Solar and Dandelion. And so there will be informational booths so that there can be conversations amongst, and then we'll the format will be a screening of the film and then these sort of rapid fire incredible stories to hold on to, which is what each individual has had for success. But we also have the Columbia Land Conservancy, because I'm very you know, we all, the more connection to our river that we can have in Hudson and in Columbia County, and that exciting North Bay project that's linking to the high school, that's linking to Greenport Nature Conservancy. So they're going to be talking a little bit about the recent.
What does Schooner Apollonia do?
So Schooner Apollonia, they're the locals, Sam Merritt and Jason Marlowe and Ben. So it's that incredible idea of the renewable energy, old freight, that old boat that they have got that they're like fundraising for their sale right now, and an amazing project of kind of bringing back trade and activity to the water, but in a renewable wind by wind I believe it's vegetable oil. So it's an amazing future old boat project. So they are local Hudson guys that we're very excited about. Riverkeeper, of course, everybody knows, and Paul Gallet, who's one of the leaders there, he is coming, and just it is amazing when we put together these events to see how generous and excited people are to come and speak. Even if it's just for 5 minutes, you want to be part of this bigger story, which is that we all care about where we live. The Catskill Mountain Keeper, they are an organization I did not know about prior, but they did some of the film work with John Bowermaster, they are the Catskill Mountain Keepers. And then the Clearwater, like I said, the renewable energy companies. And then two interesting, there's new programs at Bard, very sort of advanced thinking. You know, they are really thinking about climate change and sustainable communities mixed with education. So there's two interesting new programs there, sustainability, a graduate program for sustainability, and then the climate chaos and its impact on the people and places in the Mid-Hudson Valley is the series that they're putting on. So, you know, they're using Hudson Valley is such an amazing location to consider all of our climate challenges because of the rising waters, because of the threat on the Hudson, because of the amazing history of advocacy and protection of nature here. So that's, you know, good to have some academics who are really, you know, planning the future too of how we're going to train young minds to think differently and train people to start the climate revolution, which we need. You know, it's hard for people to see. And of course the deniers of the last 20 years haven't helped the general public to see that the climate is changing. But I think it's, you know, pretty undeniable at this time that renewable energy and getting our mass overpopulated planet off of fossil fuels has got to be a priority. And that's really, you know, to live in a place of natural beauty like this, I feel like it's easy for communities like ours to understand that more than some.
That's right.
Look, I think that's really true. And I think that's part of the reason why Columbia County and Greene County have become so popular with people from New York because it offers a refuge from... Yeah. I was in the city yesterday, and getting off the train in Penn Station is like... And I thought, oh my gosh. And there was a time when this didn't even faze me.
Yeah.
And now I just go down and go, Governor Cuomo was right. This is one of Dante's seven levels of hell.
Yeah, cities, big cities in the world. What are their futures? That's a whole other conversation. And, you know, we're in these little micro cities or rural, you know, so it's an interesting, you know, as a city, Tony, my partner and co-founder, he grew up in New York City. I grew up in Montreal. We're real city people. But we, 10 years ago, you know, very, very happy to live here, connected both to small communities, small town community, because that's a different way of making friends and impact, and then it also is a connectivity to the land in a easier way. But it's a big moment for the 21st century and for how humans are going to exist.
Well, I think it's always good to get people, like-minded people, like these groups together, because they don't always have the time or take the time to meet each other. And Matt has his hand raised.
Yes, like I'm in class. Teacher.
Yes, Matt.
Miss Thurston. But I also want to commend you for doing something that's focused on hope.
Thank you.
Because it's...
I need it as much as you.
Yes.
We need it.
We need hope.
I know.
We really do. I have a group of people that I talk to every week, and that was one of the themes that we were talking about today, because we talk once a week on Thursdays for about an hour. And have so for 20 years.
And
one of the...
You do this by telephone?
By telephone, because
the
other two people live in California. They live in different parts of Los Angeles.
How do you get the talking stick? How do you pass it from person to person? That would be a problem, I would think.
Well, is it just a conference call?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Just a conference call. But we were talking about the fact that it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that there are hopeful things happening.
Yeah, especially in the last year, as we know. Yeah, and I think, you know, Hudson, back to the micro of Hudson, it's a complicated time in Hudson right now, too, in terms of all the extremes are really getting clearer and clearer. And as a resident and involved community member, I had been finding myself being very, very down about, you know, the polarization and the how hard it is to work together in such a, you know, if we can't make Hudson work with all these mindful, strange, progressive people, how will anywhere get united? And so the last year I have been feeling very discouraged myself, but at the same time driven more than ever to show that Hudson can be a beacon of these sorts of coexistings of all these different people. You know, that's what attracted me to this place anyhow, is the microcosm of America. It's not a liberal bubble. It's everything. It's got a bit of everyone and everything, and that's what's incredible about it. And through, you know, some activity on the Hudson waterfront and concern about how Hudson will build itself and how the waterfront, which essentially when we opened in 2010, there wasn't manufacturing, but there wasn't trucks either. There was nothing. It was just a very quiet little, you know, south, the end of Front Street. There's not much there, you know, and L&B had just closed. So there's the last manufacturing company. So in the last 7 to 10 years, watching Hudson get faster, busier, more, and watching the kind of polarization that's been happening over that time. And then specifically this Hudson waterfront question, you know, now with the DRI on top of it, this grant of, you know, what is the future? And everyone should have a say, but how do we manage all of these opinions? And it was, in fact, these organizations that are going to be with us at Basilica tomorrow, Riverkeeper and the ones focusing on the water and renewable energy and then global questions of how we're going to live on planet Earth, which is the one that started giving me hope. The individuals I have met through just the local environmental groups have made me really love where I live. And, you know, and it's the Hudson Valley as a region attracts very thoughtful, mindful people who are trying to imagine, you know, whether it's the refuge from big cities or, you know, whatever the energy and synergies are. It's just that trying to imagine how we can coexist. And it's really these groups and these individuals that I've met throughout this last year in the waterfront that has given me a lot of hope. And it just, and the more I spoke to them, similar to you and your call group, is just, what do we want to share with people right now? Because this is daunting. I mean, you know, we thought our local climate was hard enough, and now the national one is worse than you could ever hope for.
And Melissa, we are at the half hour, which means that there's a couple of things I have to do.
Okay.
One of which is I have to, and Ellen and I have to, say that this is WGXC 90.7 on your dial. WGXC Acre, Hudson, Catskill, Palenville, Phoenicia.
Valencia.
Coxsackie.
On the air.
8th Athens. You name it. If you are in Greene and Columbia counties, WGXC is your voice. And because we are your voice, we need to ask you for some support. We would really appreciate if you would pick up the phone. It could be just, probably if you're like me, it's never more than an arm's length away. And call 518-697-7400 and make a generous donation to the future of WGXC. Or go to WGXC/donate and make a generous donation, or better yet, become, as Ellen and I are, sustaining supporters of the station. Or go to your desk like old-fashioned folks like me sometimes do and write a check. hopefully a generous check to WGXC and mail it to us, care of Wave Farm at 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405, or bring it to the station so Ellen and I can give you a hug and thank you.
Hugs are nice.
A collective hug.
A little bit like hope, yeah.
Yep. Well, hugs are hope.
Yeah.
Hugs are hope. Yeah. And having Melissa here and hearing about this program that's happening tomorrow here in Hudson is just one example of how we can help push the wonderful events that are happening here and letting people know about them. And helping the rest of the nonprofit world that exists here in Columbia and Greene counties. So we're
thank you.
Yes, and what time again is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Friday, at Basilica Hudson, 6 to 7 is the little social cocktail hour. Like I said, there'll be information tables from a lot of these environmental and renewable energy groups, and cute snacks provided by Catskill Brewery, Bread Alone from Woodstock, and our own Hudson Waterfront's new tin can juicery. Have you seen that organic juice truck down on Front Street?
Oh, that funny
sweet little silver bullet thing.
Yeah, like a little bullet.
So I invited her to come because I thought organic juice on Front Street on the Hudson River, that's hope to me. Do you want to come and introduce yourself to? So 6 to 7 is a little cocktail hour. 7 o'clock, the program begins. We start with John Bowermaster, 2 films, Hope on the Hudson from the Hudson River Story Series. And then we're going to kick into introducing the 12 to 15 different organizations that are coming to share stories of success. And goal is to offer every one of us, participant and audience, to leave there with a huge bundle of hope that actions will create successes, mm-hmm. and that together, if we share those successes and that hope, we'll continue making action, and we will not be discouraged, lazy, and dormant. We will not.
Yay.
We will not.
We will not.
We will not. We will
and
not.
We will not spend a lot of time on our phones for no good reason unless it's communicating messages of hope and action.
Yes. Well, it really is. Another friend and I have talked about how just the overall global scene makes one feel buffeted all the time, as if you're always
daunting.
In the middle of a a psychological storm that's around you.
Yeah.
And these little moments of hope are so important. So
hope and community, a localized community sharing in a small dose of hope that can cut through a global hell storm.
Yes. Yeah. And tomorrow night, if I can, I will swing by.
Thank
because
you.
At 7 o'clock, I'm going to be here once again.
He loves the station
substitute
so
teaching?
Much.
I'm substituting.
Mr. Substitute.
That's nice.
I am Mr. Substitute.
Only temporarily.
Yes. Yeah.
He has his own show on Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
You know, all of this reminded me of the Friends of Hudson, which was an organization that sprang up because they were concerned about the fact that St. Lawrence Cement was going to make build the biggest cement plant in the world right on our...
I arrived just around that time.
Well, the slogan was, or the name of the organization was Friends of Hudson, and it had a tagline. And the tagline was, the river, the city, the valley.
Right.
And Hudson. We did defeat or chase away, I guess one could say, St. Lawrence Company.
Yes, I saw it's sort of the image that's in my mind is from the Frankenstein movie where the villagers are storming the castle. That's how it was sort of like.
Yeah, that was in 2005. Tony and I arrived in 2007. And what I've been saying a lot in the last year since the attention has turned to the question of intensification of industrial activity once again on the waterfront is that when we moved here, the wake of that success was so loud and fierce and beautiful and inspiring. And I came to a city where I felt the identity of we the people stood up to a multinational corporation that would have put like black smoke clouds not only over the city and destroyed the little historic city forever, but the river quality of life for the whole region. And I... I'm actually just, it's as if we woke up this year, 10 years later, realizing that conversation disappeared, like that conversation about the river. And I felt like we had to start it up all over again this year when we were, the question of the LWRP, what's the plan, Hudson? Every other river town and river city has made their plan and submitted it. And then with this, like, all of a sudden, the neighbors are maybe going to expand out industrial activity, and this St. Lawrence sold their port to someone without the city even really knowing anything about it. And that, to me, has been the daunting local hellstorm of just, we got to wake people up. Because people, when I came here, everyone thought about the river, and everybody was talking about it, and everyone felt the hope of the future of a river for the people.
Melissa, one of the things that I think happened
was
that in the wake of both the St. Lawrence cement victory and just the general sense that environmentalism was beginning to get a strong, really hold, we felt like the momentum, so we didn't have to be as vigilant. And then all of a sudden, we're awakened on every front. To the fact that we have to be vigilant.
Right. Yeah, maybe there was a sort of people just relaxed, set back. But I also believe, because I saw it flare up again this year, that polarization that the cement plant, stop the plant and the us against them thing.
Yeah.
There was a clear polarization within Hudson.
There
the us
was.
Versus them tribal war, which exists all over this country. This is why the national situation is what it is. But it's very loud in Hudson, or it has been. And that, to me... was sort of the scariest moment when I realized this earlier this year. Well, we got to start talking about the river again. And so many people would say to me, don't make this like the cement, stop the cement battle. And because the fear of creating conflict in a very conflicted town, essentially, was pretty adamant. And I feel like that's been scaring a lot of people off, of people afraid to fight.
Yes, but I think that that's being replicated all over the country.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Minneapolis, which is Stockholm 400 years younger. And I went back to visit last summer, and the day before I arrived in Bloomington, which is the suburb in which my brother lives, a very nice place, there was a local mosque that was burned to the ground. And that just is not the kind of thing you associate with Minnesota nice.
Right. Yeah, it seems like no coincidence and I think that the waterfront question, which came up about a year ago now, when we realized that there was going to be possibly and may still well be big industrial activity on the waterfront, was right around the November election, and it all seemed to go hand in hand, like the micro macro, that there is a rise of big big business things and preferences for certain types of corporations and big money talks, I suppose, and little towns like this, you know, it's hard to stand up or even imagine how to. And then same goes with the hate and the polarizing just of these tribal wars, is it's hard to imagine how to stand up against such extreme forces.
Hugs are hope.
Well, exactly. That's why tomorrow we're gathering around little micro steps, which include things like as small as like these micro, one of them, the woman wrote, she's from, it's fascinating. It's about these micro energy creators in dams, like nanotechnology that's going to create energy in dams. And she wrote to me and said, you know, does this sound like a story of hope? Because maybe it's controversial. Some people, like preservationists, want dams to be taken down for water to be freed, but other people want renewable energy. And I realized in my introduction tomorrow, I took note, because when she wrote that, I thought, oh, that's interesting. I never thought that like a micro renewable energy thing in a dam could be seen as something bad from extreme preservationists that wants the dam gone. And that's when I realized that one of the things I'll have to address in the introduction is the preservation and protection of our water and natural resources versus renewable energy for a better future. And where, you know, without the renewable energy for our future, we don't really have the luxury to even be thinking about sometime, you know, it's just that balance and how we all are going to have to work together in that way too. These, you know, environmental groups and energy groups.
We're going to be very busy.
We're very busy. The children of the future will be very busy too and need a whole new type of education.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, you pointed at something,
so,
Ellen.
I did. Well, I know that Melissa has an appointment.
Oh.
An appointment with my daughter who's named River, and she is full of hope. Six-year-olds are nothing but hope, and she is a river of hope. And on behalf of her, I really invite anyone listening to come to Basilica tomorrow from 6 to 8, cocktail hour, 6 to 7, and embrace the success stories of the hardworking individuals and small organizations that are trying to make Hudson Valley at least a healthy environment to live in for all.
Right.
And we are so grateful that you came and spent a little time with us this afternoon at WGXE, which is, I like to think, the voice of Green and Columbia Counties.
I will praise WGXC and Independent Voices right now, because I know that, yes, you need support always. Is that in a world of corporate takeovers, which is, you know, pretty much America is the leading, United States of America love their corporations, and to be able to have freedom of speech in independent nonprofit radio is hope. Blood of our community, and thank you for having us, and all of you listening, you know what to do.
Thank you.
Support.
All right.
Melissa, thank you so much for coming in.
We'll see
I love the fact your daughter's name is named River.
She was born overlooking the Hudson River in our house on the Hudson River.
Wow.
Had to give her a local name, yes.
Okay.
And Basilica is at 110 South Front Street for anyone who may not know.
Yeah,
it's
on the
there.
Edge of town, former industrial wasteland. And you'll notice that my husband Tony and his friends built a beautiful green berm. And then, you know, a few years ago, we planted 10 trees. So we have slowly but surely brought some green down to otherwise a very dusty corner of town. So
it's where they set the fireworks off. For various functions.
Yes.
All right.
It's a fireworks spot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.